Funding for Capital Report is provided by the following. A grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley. Supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. The Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 500,000 union members, retirees, and their families, committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. And from Tallahassee Regional Airport, offering service through U.S. Airways with direct flights from Tallahassee to Charlotte to over 200 connections to destinations around the globe. Fares and information online at usairways.com. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. From the state capitol, Florida Public Radio brings you Capitol Report.
A proposal overhauling the way the state's early learning programs are run has gotten a unanimous vote from a key House Education Committee.
As the Speaker said when he first discussed this issue with me, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Also tonight, Democratic supporters of the federal Equal Rights Amendment descend on the Florida Capitol, bringing a message to the Republican-dominated legislature.
We're here and we're paying attention to what's going on. We may not have a majority, but we're making note and we vote.
We'll also hear about efforts to ban the bong in Florida and watch the pace of legislation pick up as the end of the session is just 3.5 weeks away. I'm Tom Flanagan. Welcome to Capitol Report. This is Children's Week at the Florida Capitol. Paper cutouts of little hands festoon the building's rotunda. Despite all the ceremony and speeches about the need to help the littlest Floridians, many bills, which support a number of children's programs, are stuck in committee. But one bill, which overhauls Florida's early learning system, has now cleared its first committee with unanimous support from Republicans, Democrats, and learning providers. A similar effort last year passed, but was vetoed by Governor Rick Scott. Lynn Hatter reports the difference this year is that all sides seem to agree the proposal coming out of the House Education Committee is a big improvement over last year.
Ted Granger with the United Way of Florida described last year's process as, quote, chaos and warfare.
And we hadn't envisioned in our wildest imagining that this teamwork would take place this session, particularly following on the footsteps of what happened last year.
Last year, lawmakers tried to overhaul the state's early learning programs by placing restrictions on how much local early learning coalitions could spend, how much providers would get paid, the age of children who could qualify for funding, and placing more requirements on providers. The proposal cleared both legislative chambers and went to the governor over the objections of providers. But Governor Rick Scott vetoed the bill, and now lawmakers are trying again. Under the direction of Republican Representative Marlene O'Toole, providers, advocates, and lawmakers have been working through their differences for weeks to hammer out a bill. The result?
How many in here did not give input? Raise your hand if you did not give input. One person. All right.
O'Toole's early learning overhaul reaches deals with providers on everything from how much insurance businesses should carry to how much of a budget cut local early learning coalitions should take.
As the Speaker said when he first discussed this issue with me, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
The various groups say the bill is good and that they'll support it, but that doesn't mean it's perfect. One problem providers still have is over language dealing with certifications for programs. Susan Gellens with the Florida Association for the Education of Young Children says her group is worried about removing the words nationally recognized from part of the bill dealing with the state's Gold Seal program. That's a designation by the state that recognizes providers that meet national industry standards.
By eliminating national, you are changing the program without ever investigating what the program is, and there could be unexpected consequences.
Representative O'Toole says that will be an issue lawmakers will review next year and says she is aware of the concerns. Another issue bumped to next year deals with health, safety, and license exemptions. That mainly applies to faith-based providers. Democratic Senator Joe Saunders says he'd like to see the state provide greater oversight in that area.
Unless we have specific instruction that somebody's going to check in moments when it matters, that a few bad actors could slip in. So I'm eager to work with staff and you, Madam Chair, next year to see how we may tackle that issue.
The House's early learning overhaul also moves the Office of Early Learning under the direction of the Florida Department of Education. The bill cleared the House committee unanimously and now starts working its way through other House committees. The effort began last year as a way to better organize the system while trying to prevent fraud and abuse. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Lynn Hatter.
31 years ago, the Florida legislature narrowly rejected the Equal Rights Amendment. The push by advocates for the Sunshine State to ratify the amendment has dimmed over the years, but has never completely gone away. This year, it made something of a comeback. Democratic women from all over Florida came to the state capitol today to put lawmakers on notice they're being watched this session. Jessica Palumbo reports the women spoke in support of Florida finally giving the go-ahead to the federal constitutional amendment outlawing gender discrimination.
Just before lunchtime on Tuesday, the rotunda in front of the House chambers is packed with women waving bright colored posters. Pink Slip, Tricky Rick, and Stop the War on Women are a couple of the slogans they've written as messages to Republican Governor Rick Scott and the Republican-controlled Florida legislature.
We're here, and we're paying attention to what's going on. We may not have a majority, but we're making note, and we vote.
That's Samantha Hope Herring, a legislative liaison from the Democratic Women's Club of Bay County. She's holding a piece of purple poster board that she designed.
It has our message on it, obviously, women are watching, and then it has an arrow pointing to a machine gun that says, control this, and then another image that of a woman silhouette, and it says, not this. The message being, focus on, you know, regulating the things that are killing people, not women. We take direct offense to that.
Democratic Women's Club members from all over Florida are visiting on the day a House committee is workshopping a bill that would ratify the federal Equal Rights Amendment. The amendment would put into the U.S. Constitution that no state could discriminate based on gender. Representative Lori Berman, a Democrat from Boynton Beach, is sponsoring the bill.
We're going to push even harder, and next year, hopefully, we're going to get a vote and move Florida to be one of the three states that need to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment.
Since it was introduced decades ago, the amendment has been ratified by all but 15 state legislatures. Many legal scholars believe it would still be valid if three more states ratify it. There's some disagreement about whether it's past its expiration. Harriet Myers from Bay County says the country still very much needs this kind of amendment.
This would give us a lot more power to make it fair for men, too, because there are men coming along saying, I'm discriminated against because I'm a man. The way that ERA is written, it doesn't say women, it says on account of sex.
The future of the ERA may be in question, but another of Berman's bills, this one banning discrimination against pregnant women, unanimously passed a committee on Tuesday. A Senate version of the bill is also moving toward a floor vote. Berman talked about the pregnancy discrimination ban with the Democratic women.
It's sad that we need it, but we have to do this, and hopefully we'll get this done. But despite the good things that have happened, we continue to be under assault here in this state.
Berman was followed by Florida Democratic Party Chairwoman Allison Tant. The women cheered loudly as she called for things like expanding Medicaid, reinstating the Sunday before elections as an early voting day, and opposing the so-called parent trigger, which would allow parents to convert failing public schools into charters. Representative Janet Cruz from Tampa also addressed the women.
In 1975, there was one woman in the Senate and 12 members of the House for a total of only 8% of women representation in the Florida legislature.
Today, women make up 25% of Florida lawmakers, although they make up more than half of the state population. Of the women in the legislature, half are Democrats and half are Republicans.
We come from different parties, but we still have a common thread of bringing a unique perspective of a woman to a male-dominated Florida legislature.
Cruz asked the crowd to mentor young women and encourage them to get into public service. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Jessica Palumbo.
Florida lawmakers are moving toward erasing the terms mental retardation and mentally retarded from many state laws, as the word retarded has become widely viewed as offensive to people with disabilities. The words mental retardation would be replaced by intellectual disability, and the words mentally retarded would be replaced by intellectually disabled. As an indication of how references to retardation thread through state laws, the House is looking at a 71-page bill to replace the terms, which pop up in everything from criminal laws to health laws. Deborah Linton, executive director of the ARC of Florida, said she's worked for 3 years to convince lawmakers to eliminate the R word and its variations. In the past, Linton's group was known as the Association for Retarded Citizens. The House Health and Human Services Committee voted unanimously to approve the bill today. At the other end of the Capitol, the same held true for the Senate Rules Committee, which also voted unanimously to approve its version of the measure. Join the conversation. Follow us on Twitter at FPR Cap Report. Still to come on Capitol Report, as the pace of activity accelerates in the Florida legislature, some are raising concerns that lawmakers' efforts to overhaul campaign spending looks more like a rebranding and less like reform.
A lot of it seems rebranding, and I know at the beginning of this year the intent was to have significant reform.
A bill banning the sale of bongs is receiving overwhelming support in the Florida legislature, and the bill's sponsor says it's sorely needed to cut down on illicit drug use.
Literally 100 yards across the street from a high school where we tell kids don't smoke dope, don't smoke marijuana, but they're passing a neon sign every day advertising the sales of these devices.
And the Florida agency that helps homeowners avoid foreclosure is firing back against its critics.
Support for Capitol Report is provided by the Able Trust, committed to helping high school students with disabilities graduate and advance to jobs, post-secondary education, and a bright future. The Able Trust, empowerment, education, employment, on the web at abletrust.org.
What usually happens in the Florida legislature after a session hits the halfway mark is an increase in the pace of activity. Lawmakers hear the clock ticking louder with each passing day, and committees start moving bills with increasing speed. Some bills, which didn't get a hearing, start appearing as amendments to bills considered to have a good chance of passage. Regan McCarthy was keeping up with the ever-escalating action today as 30 pieces of legislation went winging through a key Senate committee.
Some of the bills a panel of senators took up Tuesday might seem like the kind that would pass without a second glance. Like a bill aimed at changing the use fees associated with the Florida wildflower license plates. That's one of the specialty plates a person can choose to buy. But an amendment added to the bill would make changes to the Florida Salute's veteran specialty plate too, which brought some concerns from some who weren't happy with where the money would be going. Senator Darren Soto, a Democrat from Kissimmee, is the bill's sponsor.
This provides habitat for pollinators such as bees who help out with our agriculture. With regard to the amendment for the veterans bill, it's basically a reallocation of a small amount of resources for our folks who are coming home now who may be either homeless or have different transition services that they'll need. And so that's why we're looking at what limited resources we have and allocating them according to the need.
Another bill that had lawmakers asking questions is Senate Bill 904. The measure, sponsored by Senator Jeff Brandis, a Republican from St. Petersburg, would create a system to accredit courses rather than just schools. Brandis says the goal is to help students take the courses that fit their needs best, including online classes.
What we're saying is we can certify individual courses. We can accredit individual courses. So today we accredit colleges and universities for things that have nothing to do with the rigor of an individual course. And this will say we will simply look at the individual rigor of an individual course and we will certify that course as meeting the rigor and standards that are required for our students to be successful. And we're going to have an independent exam for whatever course they end up taking.
And Brandis says it could also be a cost-saving measure. But Senator Bill Montfort, a Democrat from Tallahassee who has an education background, says he's worried about how the plan would affect the quality of the education students receive.
We've had terrible experience with good ideas before, and I want some assurance that the Department of Education and the school districts will have the ability to make the decisions that we will not subject our children to less than the very best in those courses and the instruction. That's what causes us concern.
But Brandis says there are checks in place to ensure that Florida's high standards of education are met. Finally, lawmakers talked about a set of bills to put new rules in place for campaign finance and elections rules. The first was Senate Bill 1382. The measure would get rid of what are known as CCEs, or Committees of Continuous Existence. They're special campaign funds that opponents say have been misused. Senator Jack Latvala, a Republican from Clearwater, is sponsoring the bill. He says he didn't originally plan to get rid of the committees, but says members of the House pushed the issue.
We're getting rid of the name CCE. This was an accommodation that we tried to make, for the House, because they were really very dead set on trying to get rid of the name CCE. It became a bad word. So they changed in their bill and has a political committee basically doing everything that a CCE used to be able to do, and we followed that language.
But Senator Jeremy Ring, a Democrat from Margate, says he doesn't understand the point of changing the fund's name.
I'm trying to understand what we're really doing, other than a lot of it seems rebranding something. I know at the beginning of this year, the intent was to have significant reform.
Latvala says the big change would be how frequently and whether certain groups would have to report any money they're contributing to a political committee. The measure passed out of the committee unanimously. Latvala's proposal to change the state's elections law passed 10-5. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Regan McCarthy.
A House committee today backed away from a plan that would have required doctors to check a state database before prescribing controlled substances, but also agreed to a change that would help pay for the database. The House Health and Human Services Committee approved a compromise bill that would lift a ban on drug companies donating money for the database, which is designed to prevent doctor shopping among prescription drug abusers. Also, the bill would shorten from 7 days to 2 days the time that pharmacies have for reporting information to the database after they dispense controlled substances. But facing oppositions from doctors' groups, House members eliminated a plan that would have required doctors to check the database. Physicians are not currently required to access the database before writing prescriptions for controlled substances, such as painkillers. You're listening to Capital Report from Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Flanagan. And now here's Ronald J. Eben with a look at what's coming up at the Capitol tomorrow.
The House Health Care Appropriations Subcommittee meets from 8:30 till 11 Wednesday morning. Among the bills on the agenda is a measure that would establish a quality cancer care and research center, and a bill that requires the Department of Children and Families to set up a mental health first aid training center. The Senate goes into session from 9 until 6 to consider bills on third reading, including one that spells out when drones can or cannot be used, a bill that provides for comprehensive K-20 career and education planning and creating the preeminent state research universities program, another revising the formula upon which funding for state universities is based and awarded. Some other measures to be taken up include state employee health insurance, modifying the terms of full-time and part-time employees, providing that OPS employees working 30 hours or more per week may be eligible for state group health insurance. A news conference will be held at 9 a.m. on a proposal to modernize the Florida Baker Act to allow nurse practitioners and physician assistants to protect suicidal patients. Bill sponsored by Senator Ana Tori Flores. At 11 a.m., it'll be the Florida Association of Realtors Legislative Day, and the League of Women Voters will hold the third annual Old Capitol Gala from 6 till 8 Wednesday night. Some 15 freshman legislators will be honored. And those are some of the items on the legislative agenda for Wednesday, April 10th. I'm Ronald J. Evans.
Fans of Florida's boutique distillers may soon be hoisting a glass. The next round for small craft distillers in their quest to offer on-site sales will be served up on the House floor. The proposal, which would apply to about 20 distillers in Florida that yearly produce less than 75,000 gallons of spirits, was quickly and unanimously backed today by the House Regulatory Affairs Committee. The approval came with support from lobbyists for the Florida Retail Federation and distributors. Many of these craft distillers dream of making it big someday with their brands, yet it's very difficult for them to get their name out there, according to bill sponsor Representative Ronald Doc Renard, who is a Republican from Ponte Vedra Beach. An annual cap of 2 bottles per customer appears to be a proper mix for small craft liquor distillers to sell their product directly from their businesses. Efforts to legalize medical marijuana have gotten a lot of attention in Tallahassee this year, but that hasn't slowed down a bill to ban bongs and other devices used to consume pot and other mind-bending substances. As Sasha Cordner reports, that bill is garnering overwhelming approval in the Florida Senate.
Democratic Representative Daryl Rousson of St. Petersburg is the sponsor of the bill to outlaw the sale of certain smoking pipes and devices across Florida.
It started in 2003 when I was arrested as president of the NAACP and prosecuted by my state attorney and convicted by my jury of trespassing in protest of these stores that sell crack pipes and marijuana pipes and bongs in the urban core of St. Petersburg, and literally 100 yards across the street from a high school where we tell kids don't smoke dope, don't smoke marijuana, but they're passing a neon sign every day advertising the sales of these devices.
Today, it's legal for certain retailers to sell smoking devices like bongs or water pipes as long as at least 75% of their sales come from tobacco products like cigars and cigarettes. But Rousson's bill gets rid of that exception and makes any sale of certain smoking devices a first-degree misdemeanor. A person found violating it again could later face a third-degree felony charge. Rousson, a former drug user, says he's hoping to take away the convenience of having addicts using these pipes for illicit drug use.
These shops are commonly called head shops and not tobacco shops. These utensils are commonly used, and the average teenager, police officer, judge, treatment professional, family can tell you what is actually being smoked in these pipes. The only people who don't know are the retailers, the ones who are selling it. While they can be used for legal purposes, they're commonly not.
Rousson's bill has the backing of the Florida Sheriff's Association, the Florida Alcohol and Drug Abuse Association, and the Florida Smart Justice Alliance. It also has the support of University of Central Florida student Robert Kleiman, who works at an addictions receiving facility in Orange County.
I think it's about time that the head shops get a wake-up call for this abuse that's going on currently. These kids are clearly smoking, digesting, inhaling toxic, illicit drugs. They're not smoking tobacco.
Rousson's measure also gets a nod from his fellow lawmakers like Democratic Representative Dave Kerner of Lake Worth. Kerner says he was on the fence at first about the bill, but he's now fully on board.
Ranking Member Rousson has done an excellent job in allaying my fears about being overbroad with this bill, and we need to be proactive in this. And what kind of message are we sending to our children when we have these shops with these pipes in there under the guise of them being used in tobacco? I think the general population knows that that's not what they're being used for, and it lessens the credibility of our system of law when we allow that to occur.
And Republican Representative Debbie Mayfield of Vero Beach also praises the bill.
And I, too, want to echo that. You know, we're enabling the children and adults to do this when we are providing them with the mechanism in order to do it with. So I support this wholeheartedly, and I thank Representative Rousson for bringing this forward.
As in its previous committees, the bill passed unanimously in its third committee stop, the House Justice Appropriations Subcommittee, Tuesday. It has one more stop to go before it heads to the House floor. A similar measure in the Senate, sponsored by Republican Senator Kelly Stargell, also has one more stop to go before it heads for a floor vote. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sasha Cordner.
Best check your rearview mirror. There may soon be a golf cart on your tail. A proposal to allow street-legal low-speed vehicles to be reclassified as golf carts in a move to reduce registration and insurance costs continues to crawl through the legislature. The House Transportation and Economic Development Appropriations Subcommittee unanimously backed that measure today. While similar in appearance to golf carts, low-speed vehicles are allowed on roads where the posted speed limit is up to 35 miles an hour. The state currently requires these vehicles to be registered at an annual fee of up to $57, with the rate depending on how fast they go. However, the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles could give these vehicles a one-time $40 verification fee to indicate that they've been converted to golf cart status, with the top speed capped at 20 miles an hour. Finally this evening, the Florida Housing Finance Corporation is pushing back against critics who say it's not doing a good job of running the state's billion-dollar support program for homeowners facing foreclosure. Lynn Hatter returns to tell us the organization says it has enough people and money to do its job, and it shouldn't be compared to similar programs in other states.
3 years ago, and at the height of the foreclosure crisis, Florida received $1 billion from the federal government to help struggling homeowners. The hardest-hit program still has more than $840 million left unspent. It's run by the Florida Housing Finance Corporation. And Monday, Democratic Senator Darren Soto called on state lawmakers to give $4 million a year for the next 3 years to help the organization get more people into the hardest-hit program.
We need to utilize and get that $840 million in the hardest-hit fund out into the streets. It's been 3 years that money has been held hostage, and it makes no sense.
I'm not really sure what the impetus behind that is, and we understand the concern that that the Senate has for this.
Sika Rose Green is the spokeswoman for the Florida Housing Finance Corporation. She says the hardest hit program is working as designed, although it has been slow in moving. The program comes with money to keep it running, and Green says she doesn't know why Senate Democrats felt the need to put another $4 million into it.
We've been moving right along and using the funds that we have to be able to administer the program in good fashion.
Recently, several reports have compared the rate of homeowners getting assistance through hardest hit to similar programs in other states, which have already spent down almost half their funding. Green says she's confident Florida will continue using the federal dollars to support struggling homeowners with things like loan modifications and mortgage payment assistance before the program expires in 2017. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Lynn Hatter.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Sasha Cordner, Ronald J. Eben, Lynn Hatter, Regan McCarthy, and Jessica Palumbo, along with Ryan Bank, Thomas Andrew Gustafson, and Stephen Rodriguez. We also thank our contributing Florida Public Radio stations. Technical assistance for Capitol Report is provided by Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Follow us on Twitter at FPR Cap Report. And join us again each weeknight during the 2013 Florida lawmaking session for more reports from the state capitol.
Audio copies of Capitol Report are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. You can also hear Capitol Report online, including archives of past shows at fprn.org. Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following: a grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart, and Shipley, supporting public radio and taking time to care, on the web at searcylaw.com. The Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 500,000 union members, retirees, and their families, committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. And from Tallahassee Regional Airport, offering service through U.S. Airways with direct flights from Tallahassee to Charlotte to over 200 connections to destinations around the globe. Fares and information online at usairways.com. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. This is Florida Public Radio.